fall down.
I love sounds of children in worship, and I hope you do too, because we're going to bring them, okay? We've got two that will be in here every Sunday morning, and they're only gonna grow and increase in number while we're here. So just be prepared for that. But I'm so incredibly relieved and excited to be with you this morning. It feels like it's been a long time coming. If you've ever moved, it feels like eternity to move anything, let alone trying to move for six folks. It's a lot. It's a lot. So I told some folks this morning, they said, "Are you guys getting all settled in?" I said, "Well, all of our stuff is somewhere in central Arkansas. It's either here at the church, which if you go to the offices, it'll look like a little mini storage for a little while. It's in the bus barn. It's in my car. It's at my in-law's house. It's all over the place. Hopefully we can just find it all at the end of this and get settled somewhere. But until then, I joked with my wife. Jesus said, the Son of Man hath no place to rest his head, and neither do we for now. So it's okay. It's all good. We're excited about being here, though. And we may be running on fumes, but, man, that's all we need is the fumes of the Holy Spirit, right? So we're so excited. I thought, what do you want to preach when you first step into the pulpit at a new church? I've not experienced that. I've experienced stepping into the pulpit of a church for the first time and deciding what to preach. But I thought, man, what a good chance, what a good opportunity for us to get to know each other. I'm going to get to know every single one of you and mess up every single one of your names for the next month or two, if not longer, maybe 6 months. I thought, man, this is a great place for you to get to know my heart for the church. And this is not just my heart for the church, it's for you. It's my heart for the church for me. And I wanted to begin with Psalm 1 today. I believe this is a statement that is made quite often. You'll hear it quite often. There'll be somebody that's trying to be funny, and they'll say, "I believe there are two types of people in the world." And they'll say things like, there are people that like to be outside, and they like to be outside and sweaty, and there's people that don't like to sweat, so they stay inside. Those are the two types of people. And they say things like, there are types of people that like to eat out, and there's types of people that like to cook at home, right? Would you agree with that? I mean, it's pretty good, right? I think there are two people. There's people that like chocolate chip cookies, and there are people that are wrong, okay? I love chocolate chip cookies, and I hear there are a lot of them waiting for us in the Omar James building. So I promise you, we're going to study, and we're going to get out when the Lord tells us we're going to get out, okay? All right, so for some of y'all, that may be a little bit longer than what you're used to, but it'll be all right. I actually do believe that we can rope people. I'm going to look for my little clicker here. We can rope people, the world, into two types of people. And I want you to bear with me this morning, because it's not a joke. I do believe this wholeheartedly. I believe that there are people that are word-driven people, okay? There are people that are word-driven people. They see this, and they look through this to see the rest of the world, okay? This is God's word, and they believe that this is what guides and directs them their whole life through. And I believe that there are worldly driven people. And what I mean is depending on the day, they listen to whatever voice is loudest, and they're driven by the world. I believe that wholeheartedly. It's a convictional belief, and I think you're going to see it today. We've already read Psalm 1, but I'm going to invite you to open up to Psalm 1 again, and we're going to read through that one more time as we look at this, okay? So Psalm 1 begins, in my version, the CSB, "How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin." Now, before we jump in here and we jump into Psalm 1, I want to read you two other scriptures about the world, because I believe a few convictional things about the world. And I want to tell you this, I believe that the prince of the power of the air, the king of this world, wants to deceive you. We know that scripture says that he wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so I believe about the world that John First John has something to say about this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world, with its lust, is passing away. But the one who does the will of God remains forever. And then in Romans 1, this is one that's very convictional to me. It says, for his invisible attributes, talking about God, that is the eternal power, the divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over in their desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged truth, the truth of God, for a lie, and worshipped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. So what we can attain, or what we can ascertain from Scripture, what we can learn from Scripture, is that the world, in all its lust and all its passions, is completely fading away into nothing. How many of you have ever seen metal rust? You seen that? Metal doesn't stick around. It looks awesome for a little while, but then it gets old and dingy. I went through the car wash this morning. My 2007 Honda Pilot will never look like it did in 2007. I mean, that's just the truth. The leather on the inside looks like someone's been sitting on it for almost 20 years, okay? The world and everything in it is fading away, and the world is going to always pervert God's truth and change it to a lie. It's happened since Genesis, and it's going to continue happening until the day that Jesus comes back. You see, Psalm 1 has a lot to say about this. Psalm 1, the very first psalm, which if you know anything about the psalms, Psalm 1, they say that the psalms is it's the heart of God, and the proverbs are the mind of God. That's his wisdom. So the psalm here, the heart, the beginning of this, talks about his word. And so I want to tell you about the two different choices here. The worldly choice is the natural choice. It's one that is natural to us. We know that we are all born sinners, right? We are born fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I think I've said this to you before. I think if you were here a few weeks ago, you heard me say this. But if you don't believe that, come to my house for just a little bit and watch my one-year-old. He turns one this week. Watch my one-year-old try to bite his brothers. It just happens, okay? He's not even been on this earth for a year, and he's trying to test out those chompers, okay? That's just how he is, because he is a sinner. But let's look at how David describes this man. He says that he walks in the counsel of the wicked. He stands in the path of sinners. He sits in the seat of scoffers. These are all actions, right? The one that delights in God's word doesn't do this. But the wicked are the ones that will stand. They will sit, and they are happy to walk in the counsel of the wicked, sinners, and the scoffers. How can he withhold the influence of the world? He can't, because that's all he listens to. He sits with them. Scripture says bad company will ruin good morals. If the voice that you're listening to is one of the world, then you won't be able to help but follow the world. I know that there are voices that confront us every single day, and there are voices that are hard to overcome at times, because we see them around every single corner. But the first one that I want you to hear about is yourself. There are things in your mind that are lies that have been planted there for years and years and years and years and years. Have you ever heard of the curse of the word? Have you ever heard of this? Somebody said something to you years ago and it stuck with you. Have you ever encountered that? I read a story of a man who, this is out of a book that I read recently. He had been in the church for 60 years, but he stopped singing in the church 60 years ago because some woman told him that he was singing out of tune. It's the curse of words. It stuck with him for 60 years, and he hadn't sung in church in 60 years. He had attended, and he had been there, and he'd been a faithful member, but because of the words that he had heard, they stuck around and they heard. So his voice inside his head said, you're not a good singer, so you don't even need to try. That's a lie. We know that it was a joyful noise unto the Lord. So the first voice that you have to confront every single day is yours. Your doubts, the things that come into your mind. That's the thing that Joshua had to fight whenever he took over from Moses, when God said, be strong and very courageous, right? So you have to understand that we are called to fight these voices. So ourself, the world, and all of its ideas and philosophies have bombarded us through media. And I'm gonna try not to step on any toes here, but through education, through other people. I'll say this, I have this little bitty booklet that my father-in-law gave me, and don't be startled by the title of this, but the title of it is How to Kill 11 Million People. It's by Andy Andrews. You can buy this book, and it's all about the Holocaust. The Holocaust began with education. We have to hold up education to the lens of Scripture and see if it's right. Otherwise, we become like Romans talked about. We substitute truth for lies. And then all those other people, think about Job. Think about Job and the people that he encountered after dealing with hardship. Those conversations weren't always God-honoring conversations, were they? You're going to encounter people every single day that are not going to honor God with their conversations. And then the last voice that I believe is kind of controlling all these other voices is the devil. Satan wants to whisper little things in your ear all day. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. We've already talked about that, haven't we? He wants to trip you up. He wants to mess up your day. And if he can do it with without little resistance, then it's easy for him. I want to share with you, if I get this thing to work, here we go. Sorry, we already read all this. I'm sorry, I didn't. This has been a minute since I've looked at this. But worldly driven people here. Here are some differences. The worldly driven person hears this: God doesn't exist. And if he does, he certainly doesn't care for you. You don't have what it takes. There's no eternity, so you need to live for now. The greatest goal is power, pleasure, possessions. You deserve to be angry. Don't let them do this to you. Make them pay. You're alone and you're on your own. That's what the world person hears. This is what the world person thrives on. A lot of it's anger. Very little of it is truly happiness, joy. A lot of it is thriving on someone else's demise. So I believe that we don't have to do anything to do this. Let me tell you, this is something that is going to be hard to hear for you. All you have to do is exist, and you can be this worldly person. You don't have to do a single thing. I told you already that my almost one-year-old son, he doesn't have to do anything to be taught to bite. My two-year-old son, he doesn't have to do anything to learn to sit on his brother and torment his brother, okay? My daughter didn't have to be taught how to lie. These things just happen. People want to take the path of least resistance, and I want to tell you something, that's where this leads right here. But I want to give you some good news today, and we're going to kind of hang out in here for just a little bit. Actually, before we get there, sorry, I want to show you what the result of this. These are the actions. This is kind of the where you go, but I want to show you the results of this. What happens? You become unstable, like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly. You know why? Because they've already been blown away. They're unstable in all that they do. Let me show you something else. They're disconnected. They will not stand in the judgment or in the assembly of the righteous because they're completely disconnected. And then if you go a step further, not only that, they're fading away. We already read in 1 John where it said the world and all of its passions is completely fading away. So let me ask you this. Is this something that you want to do? Is this where you want to end up? Fading away into something that is natural, but it's a dark picture. It's just the natural way. This is not where we really want to do. And you don't have to, again, you don't have to do anything to inherit this. But let me show you the good news about what we can do. David turns a little bit here, and he is very clear. He said about the word person, the worldly, the word-driven person. He says that instead their delight is on the Lord's instruction. They meditate on it day and night. And they're like a tree planted flowing beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. And guess what? The Lord watches over their way, the way of the righteous. So this is an unnatural choice. This is something that's difficult. It's hard. It's something that you have to make the decision to do it every single day. But let me tell you something. It is possible to make this decision every single day. It's something that you can choose. And we know this because millions of people have done it throughout history. And God would not ask us to make a choice that we could not do. He would not ask us to do something that was impossible. Now, I want to give you something, a little note here, because there have been moments where you say, I don't have time for this. I don't have time to do this. Or it's impossible for me to meditate on it day and night because I can't memorize it. I can't focus on it enough. Well, let me tell you something. You cannot do it. You're right. It's an unnatural choice. But God, through you, can help you make this decision. The Holy Spirit is the helper. I think in Sunday school this morning, Doug talked about, and John, it's better for me to go and to send the counselor, the helper, right? It's better for me to leave. It's better for you for me to go so that I can send him to help you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is helping us do. It's helping us to see that even though we are weak, he is strong and he helps us. This person's life does a few things here. It delights in the law of the Lord. He loves God's word. He loves hearing God's word taught. He loves being around folks that are filled with his word, and they're not resistant to what God has to say, but they're eager because they are also meditating on it day and night, continually reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, thinking about it, right, talking about it with others, listening to it, being taught. And these are the things that they hear. God is real, the great I am. God accepts and loves you in Christ. You have all that you need in him. And if this sounds familiar, it's because it's from Scripture. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God will provide you all your needs through his riches. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Guess what? I got a second page for this one. Do not worry. God takes care of the birds and the lilies. He will take care of you. All things work together for the good to those who love God. We are more than conquerors through Christ. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God is preparing a place for you in heaven, and he will come to receive you to himself, that where he is, you may also be. Don't you want to hear these things consistently and constantly? Aren't those encouraging words? It's because God wants to encourage you, and he wants you to delight on his law. He wants you to meditate on it. Psalm 119 says this. Psalm 119, if you don't know, it's the longest piece of scripture that we have. It's the longest chapter in scripture that we have, and it's broken up into sections that are, each section starts with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's awesome how that would happen. In our English translation, it doesn't translate that way, but if you look at it, there might be subsections that say like Aleph or Bet or all these different things, and that's the Hebrew alphabet. You can work your way through it, and it's an amazing thing. The whole thing is about God's word. This is 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies is my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts, I get understanding. I receive understanding. Therefore, I wouldn't say I like every false way. Therefore, I cannot agree to like every false way because I know the truth and I delight in your truth. The opposite is true of the word-driven person from the world-driven person. He delights in the word of God, right? We know that he delights and he meditates on it day and night. Therefore, he is stable. What does it say? It says that he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams. He's a tree that's been planted. Now, I love this idea. What provides the stability? This is a person that has been purposefully planted. He is not a wild tree just growing every which way. The Creator planted him near flowing streams. He planted him there on purpose. He knew that this was the best place for him to be. Isn't that something that we really want to know, that we are planted somewhere where the Creator knows where we're at? Therefore, guess what? If He planted you there, He knows that you're there, and He wants to take care of you. So He's stable. The Word-driven person is stable. Look at the next thing. This is so good. He's nourished because he's planted by streams of water. I love this idea. It doesn't say that he's planted by a stream or a river. He's planted by streams. He's planted by streams. What kind of streams do you think that would be there? Streams of forgiveness? Yes. Streams of mercy? Streams of grace that flow directly from Christ? Streams of love? Never failing sources that supply exactly what you need to help you grow firm into the ground, into the foundation that He has set before you. What a beautiful thought that you've been nourished by these streams. Notice I had to line these over here, over on the left a little bit, because there's more. Also, you're fruitful. If you are delighting in His law and you're meditating on it day and night, you've become fruitful. It bears its fruit in season. If the Lord put you in a specific place, planted you there in the midst of streams, He's going to provide fruit in your life, through your life. Fruit that makes a difference. It's productive. It's the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of a changed life. The fruits of the Spirit, my kids love talking about the fruits of the Spirit, because they used to hear me going down the hallway saying, okay, Lord, I have a fruit of patience. I have the fruit of kindness. I have the fruit of faithfulness to You. And whenever I go and punish this child, I'm going to have all those fruits. Right? Walking up down the hallway, my wife would hear me whispering, you have the fruit of goodness in you right now and gentleness, okay? And so these fruits, they come into your life to help you have this changed life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Above, to all of those things, there is no law. Scripture's very clear. That was a voice crack, and I'm sorry. But Scripture is very clear that those things are good and they are provided through the Spirit. They are fruit in your life. And guess what? The other aspect of this that we cannot forget is that it's timely. It's in its seasons. It's exactly when you need it. Because God is always on time. He's never late. What a beautiful thought. He knows exactly what you need right when you need it. How many times have you ever said, okay, God, this is what I need right now. Why are You not giving it to me? It's because God knew you really didn't need it at that moment. It's because God said, I want this to produce at the right time. And usually, and whenever you get 5 years down the road, they say hindsight's 20/20, right? You look back and you go, I'm glad I didn't have that right when I thought I needed it. Because God knew what I needed at that moment, and it was to rely on Him. It was timely. It says that we're enduring. If you're meditating on it and you're delighting in it, its leaf does not wither. This one's hard, right? But what He does lasts eternally. I have a friend of mine who used to say, man, I have these encounters on a daily basis, and I think in my mind at that moment, this is either going to be a good encounter or a bad encounter. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know where it's going to go. And I said, man, why don't you always make them good encounters? He said, that's what I really strive to do, because every time you encounter God, it's an eternal thing. It's something that happens, and it's not just something that just happens in that moment. That person's going to remember it forever. And if it's a good encounter, they're going to remember it as a positive thing for the rest of their life. So if it's a bad encounter, they're going to go, man, that messed up my day. And they're going to blame you for it, whether it's your fault or not. But whenever we encounter people, it's something that is an eternal encounter. It's something that happens and does not stop happening. It's something that we've got to understand. If I go and get my oil changed and feel like I'm getting cheated out of something, and I make a fuss about it, that's eternally going to affect that other person's life. And so I meditate and I delight in the law of the Lord so that I can have those encounters and they're enduring. The fruit does not wither. The leaves do not wither, so I can endure whatever is thrown my way. I talked to my wife last year. Many of you will get to know us and you'll know the story. But last year we walked through something really hard for 6 months. And I'll tell you something. We could not have done that without the Holy Spirit. We could have not done that without the Lord. And if you want to talk about that further, we can talk about it further, not from the pulpit. My wife's giving me the little look like, just hold on. All right. But the reality of this is that if I'm within the will of God and I am the tree that he has planted and I am delighting on his law and I am meditating on it day and night, it does not matter what the devil throws my way. It does not matter what the world tries to put in my path. I can endure all things because of the Holy Spirit. He strengthens me for what I need. He is timely, remember? And so therefore I can endure because my life will be fruitful. And it may not be everything that I want it to be, but it'll be exactly what he wants it to be when he wants it to happen. So we are enduring, and therefore our life is prosperous. And whatever he does, he prospers. Now, I don't really love this word because there are pastors right now that want to tell you all you have to do is give a little bit more and then you can have whatever you want. And let me tell you something, you can give to God everything you want, and that's great, but he's going to give you exactly what he wants you to have. And that may be pain, and that may be hardship, and we're going to get to that in just a second. I like the word progress more, because listen, the idea here is that whatever you do, you will progress. You will step forward into whatever God has for you. I want to say that again. You're going to step forward into whatever God has for you. It may not be prosperity on this side of eternity, but it's going to be prosperity somewhere. It may be prosperity in heaven, and that may be the only time you prosper. And guess what? That'll still be better than any prosperity you have here on earth. This idea is progressing your spirit, progressing your soul. Spurgeon says this. He says, it is often for the soul's benefit, for the soul's health, that we should be poor on this side of heaven, bereaved and persecuted. Our worst things are often our best things. How does that sit with you this morning? Are you walking through something that's difficult and trying? How are you coming out of a season of difficulty and strife? If you're there, I want you to understand that this Psalm 1, it gives you the formula. Delight in his law. Meditate on it day and night, and therefore your soul will progress. And it may hurt. It may hurt because that's what God wants to happen. But let me tell you something. This idea is that you are progressing. You are being sanctified. The sanctification process is not necessarily an always outward process of prosperity. It's one that is prosperous to your soul. Because oftentimes it's better for you to suffer. I think about Paul a lot in this part of the chapter, because Paul was very prosperous on earth. He would tell you in Philippians that he had every reason to boast, but he knew he would suffer. The Lord told Ananias before he was to go clean off Paul's eyes, right after he had encountered Christ on the road to Damascus, he said, Paul knows what he's done, and he will suffer for me. But it will be okay. He knew that it would be okay. Paul oftentimes described himself as a prisoner to God, not a prisoner to the Roman army, not a prisoner to the Roman government. And he said, I'm a prisoner to God, a prisoner to Jesus. I am called to suffer for his sake. So there are moments in time where your soul will be progressing, but you will be suffering, and you need to understand that it's for God. And not because he hates you. It's because he loves you. Oftentimes, it is for our soul's health that we should be poor, bereaved, and persecuted. Our worst things are often our best things. And let me tell you where you can hold on to. This is your hope right here. Not only are you prosperous, but you're known. I'm going to tell you something. This is what we are all searching for. Every single one of us. You would be lying if you told me you didn't care to be known. We all are thriving in community. You may be introverted, but let me tell you something. You would love to sit quietly among other believers. That's me. I'll just be honest with you. I call myself an extroverted introvert, but I am okay with just sitting in a group of people, not saying a word. Does that sound weird coming from the guy that's in the pulpit? It does. It's okay, though. But we desire to be known. And let me tell you something. Even if you're not known by anyone else on this earth, there is one who knows you. If you don't know anybody in this room, there is still one person here that knows you. And he is inviting you in. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This is the path to the best life. Now, again, I don't want to hang out in the prosperity part of this, but I want to understand it's not the best life here. It's not your best life now. It's your best life with him, which may equal suffering now, but it's something that is okay. So let me ask you this. What are practical steps for us to live this world life? My father-in-law once told me that when he wakes up, Judy and Kirk, you probably know this. When he wakes up, his prayer is, God, are you waking me up? The other night, I was putting a child back to bed, believe it or not, okay? We have four of them, and so sometimes they wake up, and we have to put them back to bed. And whenever I walked through my in-law's den, it was 2 a.m., and he was up studying. And I thought to myself, man, I'm worthless. I'm not up studying at 2 a.m. What kind of pastor am I, you know, listening to another voice in my ear? But let me tell you something. When God wakes you up, be like Samuel and say, okay, Lord, is this you or is this just something in the world that's trying to keep me from you? If it's you, I'm more than willing to get up and open this thing up. And let me tell you something, it's never been easier to open up your Bible. I have a free version of it on my phone. It's never been easier. You have more access to his word now than you ever have in your entire life. And let me tell you something, if you're a person that says, I'd rather have a physical copy and I don't have one, so I can't really read it. Let me tell you something, this morning you don't have an excuse because I know where a whole stack of Bibles are and we'll give you one. If you think you've lost it and you want another one, I've got a whole stack and I'll give you one. It's fine. You can borrow mine for a little while. I need it back, but you can borrow mine. Okay? Get up and read your Bible when God wakes you up. And then let me tell you something else. You think, I don't really know where to start. Start at the beginning. That's a good place to start, right? Just read through it systematically. If you think, I don't really work that way, I'll get you a reading plan. We can work on that together. Systematically and humbly, read through God's Word, because it's wherever you start, it's going to be fine. But if you need a place to start, start at the beginning. Let me tell you something else. This is something that you can pray through. So you can systematically, humbly read God's Word, but you can also read through here and say, okay, God, now I'm going to pray. Help me delight in your Word. Help me to meditate on it day and night. I don't know how to do that, so I need your help, God. And guess what? In his timing, he's going to do it. He's going to show you exactly what he wants for you. You can pray through it. And then if you're a person that likes to record what you're learning, I'm not a big journaler. I wish I was. I want to be. I've bought so many journals with the idea that I'm going to sit down, I'm going to journal through everything I'm learning. It's just not me. I can't force myself to do it. But I'll tell you what, I do love taking notes. And you need to record what he's teaching you. If you look through here, this one's a fairly new one. But I highlight and I mark up my Bibles. It's okay. This is an instruction manual. Okay, it is God's holy word. But I want to tell you something. It's okay to write in this thing. It's okay to write dates. It's okay to write notes. It's okay to write down things that have impacted you. And if this kind of scares you, then get a journal and journal through God's word. And the next thing is, don't keep it to yourself. Share God's word. Listen, it may be one of the encounters that you have where you have no idea what they need to hear, but it's something that you're learning right now. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that maybe what I'm learning, the person next to me might also be learning? I tell you what, I have had so many times in the past year where I've talked to Bethany about something God was teaching me, and she said, I needed to hear that. Or vice versa, where she said, God is teaching me this. And I said, man, you have no idea that I needed to hear that right now. God speaks to you through your brothers and sisters in Christ. So when it feels like you don't have the strength to read, share with others. And they might share something with you in your time of need. And then the next thing is saturate your day with God's Word. So another thing that I love to do is if I'm right now, I've got a 30-minute drive from here to my in-law's house. It's not bad, okay? I used to drive an hour and a half to work every single day. And we can talk about that another day too. But I love listening to someone else read me God's Word. I love diving in and I love hearing this. But there are nuances and there are ways that people say these sentences that make more sense to me sometimes. Sometimes I read these sentences and I think, man, my inflection must be off because I'm really not getting it today. And then I hear someone else speak it to me and I'm like, man, that makes way more sense. The commas lined up for that person better than they did for me that day. I love listening to God's Word. And I also love, right now, one of my favorite albums is Shane & Shane. They have a Psalms album. And every single song on it is a psalm. Psalm 46 is the one I'm stuck on, Lord of Hosts. It's an amazing album. They're singing through what people sang through in the old days. And I just love it because it's scripture. And it is something that strengthens my spirit whenever I hear them singing it. So we should saturate our day listening to it, singing it. And the last thing is this, follow what he's telling you to do. I told our last church, I said it was really bittersweet to leave them. It's bitter because I loved them. It was sweet because I knew God was moving us. And I told them, I said, I would tell God no, but we live really close to the Arkansas River, and he did it with Jonah. He's not above doing it with me. I don't want to be in the belly of the fish, vomited up on a dry land in Little Rock. That's just not what I desire, so I'm going to go. We have to follow where God leads us. Otherwise, we are doomed for a destitute life. Suffering that is self-inflicted. Not suffering that is a righteous suffering. And then the last thing is to never stop. How many of you have gotten out of the habit of doing something and you thought, man, I can never jump back in? If you stop doing something, it's hurtful. It's hard. I talked to a few folks this week I'm going to call them senior adults, but they're really the wise adults, right? And I talked to Brother Homer over here, and I talked to Miss Nancy Love back there, and I talked about what kept them going. And you know what keeps them going? Nancy, you can't keep her out of her yard. Walker tries, but he can't do it. She's still, yeah. Let me tell you something. If you stop moving, you start dying. And it's the same thing with the scripture. If you stop reading it, guess what? It's not that it's hard to jump back. It's you start dying. This is our bread of life. This is the thing that sustains us. When we are not in it, we are more prone to sin. We are more prone to shame. We are more prone to heartache. And therefore, Psalm 1 tells us the secret, the formula. We are to find joy in it. And we are to meditate on it day and night so that we can become like the tree that is planted near streams, so that we can be fruitful in season and our leaf will not wither, and whatever we do will progress, will prosper. Will's going to come on up here, and I want to share a story that my father-in-law talks about all the time. He talks about he saw this man and he was laughing at him because he was walking in the rain. He had this great big old study Bible. And as he was walking in the rain, he was holding it above his head because he was trying to stay out of the rain, right? And he was laughing at him because that's kind of a silly thought. Like, this is probably not going to cover your whole, like, get an umbrella, right? But the thought process was this. The thought process was very simple. Going through treacherous terrain, but covered and directed by God's Word. What an illustration. I would have loved to have been there and been completely convicted by that. Because the reality of this, of our life here, is that we are always going through treacherous terrain. We are always going to be going through a world that is broken and it's shattered. And the purpose that was here on earth was shattered by men and women, right? That was Eve's downfall, right? We know that Adam and Eve broke the mold because they wanted to be like God. And men and women right now in our world are trying to still be like God. There's one man that walked this earth. You know what Philippians says about him? Although he was equal to God, equality to God was the thing that he did not grasp. I mean, we are trying our best to become like him, and Jesus did his best to stay like us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, showing us how we should be responding to this life. And so I'm going to invite you today, if this is something that you're interested in doing, if this is something that you've not made the decision about, what a better day. Don't hesitate to come forward this morning and allow God to work through your life. I'm going to invite Doug up here with me as well. That may describe you. Maybe you're, this morning, you're saying to yourself, I want that. And I'm going to invite you, don't hesitate, because right now is the moment. We're going to sing a song in just a second, and maybe you just needed that reminder, and you need somebody to pray over you. We're here to pray with you.